This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
This big energy project, the Energy East Pipeline, that was supposed to bring in crude from Alberta into refineries on the coast of New Brunswick and go through Quebec, it's not going to happen. They pulled the plug on it. TransCanada did. It was like a $15.7 billion project and would guarantee mucho employment. The fact that, you know, we're very much geared to an extraction economy, and this would be part and parcel of that. But it's another one, like the liquid natural gas Petronas deal that was worth $36 billion. That got yanked as well a couple of months back. What's going on? I mean, is this country becoming too difficult to do business in the energy sector? Well, to find out exactly what it all means before we get to our panel, we're joined on the line by Tim Pickering. Tim is with Auspice Capital Advisors, the brains behind the Canadian Crude Index, which is a benchmark that allows people to actively track the price of oil produced in Canada. Tim, it's good to have you on the Oakley Show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate this because really it's beyond my realm of comprehension. I thought that maybe, you know, we'd be open for business. This was all good going forward as long as we met certain standards or assessments and regulations. Do you understand TransCanada pulling the plug on this?
I think I do. I mean, I don't have a full insight, but you know, I think what we're observing is whether it's a company like Petronas, as you perfectly pointed out, or a domestic company like TransCanada, they're getting frustrated with the situation in Canada, and they're hitting an economic tipping point where it doesn't make sense. And the projects look good. People keep pointing to the oil price or the gas price and saying it's not high enough, and that's what's killing these projects. That's not the case, in my opinion. It's being killed because it's being mired in time and red tape. And that's what we're doing to our own Canadian companies.
Well, isn't it? This is interesting to me. How is this going to play politically? Because it's almost like Trudeau 2.0. Pierre Trudeau's
you nailed it.
Okay, well, elaborate on that.
Here's what I would say. It's like, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. And, you know, my family moved to Calgary in 1981. NEP had just come in under Pierre Elliott Trudeau and I mean, destroyed Western Canada. And this is different, but it's you know, we've got a number of things that are hurting this industry. And, you know, putting your name beside the approval of a pipeline like you did with Trans Mountain last December is not enough. You need to get behind these projects. You need to be a leader and a facilitator. And I don't believe our leadership is doing that.
All right. And have they, by the same token, created conditions for project approval that are just too stringent to meet?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think when companies go into these type of things, a company like TransCanada, they're very familiar with those onerous things. However, when they continually change and get added to, and it's a moving target, eventually people run out of time, steam, and money. And for a company like TransCanada or Petronas, what they're doing is saying, look, it's easier to focus on projects in other places. It's as simple as that. Petronas has bigger projects going on in Australia. TransCanada can focus on Keystone XL, where they've got a willing and able partner in the United States that's open for business.
Well, there's a piece in the Globe and Mail that actually references that, the Keystone XL, once that was green-lighted after Obama left office, that they can actually deliver Alberta crude to the big refineries on the U.S. Gulf Coast, and that's their priority. That's Plan A. So this project, the Energy East Pipeline, was just Plan B and no big whoop, even though it included a write-down of $1 billion announced today.
Right. Yep.
Do you believe that this was really Plan B and not a big deal?
I think the commitment TransCanada showed for the last X years in getting this project to this stage, getting the endorsement of 200 municipalities across our country, getting the support of East Coast refineries, I don't think it was so much a Plan B. It was just something that should happen. Here's the fact. We import 1 million barrels-ish a day of oil into the East Coast of Canada. Why wouldn't we be creating a way for our Western Canadian oil, which is a discounted priced oil, to WTI, why wouldn't we be enabling that? And so for many reasons, it made sense. Remember this, the Canadian oil basin and the Canadian oil sands is growing. It's not getting smaller. As of the end of 2018, the estimate is we're going to be the fourth largest producer in the world. That's up from seventh in the last few years, taking out Iraq. And that's growth of the oil sand that's continuing to grow. We're going to need ways to get the oil out of Alberta.
All right, but if it can't get the tidewater because there were all these environmental assessments, under the Conservatives, it was basically one assessment and done. They didn't bog down in that. Now it seems like everybody, if I can use the former finance minister in the Conservative government, Joe Oliver, writing in the Post today, he says any group with an axe to grind can forestall these projects.
Exactly. And you know, I think one thing I've learned in the oil business, I came through the Shell system before starting my own company, and was the standards we have in Canada are some of the highest standards in the world. They always have been. And we've even taken them to the next level in the last few years. And all we're doing by complicating things with red tape and changing the rules while we're in progress is we're discouraging investment in our country, not only by domestic companies or foreign companies, but investors even looking at Canada, they're scared of it. Now, I guess we're going to win in the sense that the focus of our federal leaders and now by default our provincial leaders has to be on recreational marijuana, and I guess that's the priority, and I think that's a damn shame.
Interesting. Tim Pickering's with us. We're talking about the Energy East project being canceled by TransCanada. You know, I mean, you alluded to the 1 million or 1.1 million barrels of oil we import, and this is where the hypocrisy really comes into play, because in so doing, you know, I mean, these are from regimes like Saudi Arabia, you know, Venezuela, I guess, Qatar.
Exactly.
You know, where is the greater social good served by supporting foreign oil? It makes no sense. Even from the greenhouse gas emissions, they don't have the same standards or regs that we do. They're really, I guess, trying to suck and blow at the same time.
Yeah, it's terribly unfortunate because you're right. I mean, we import oil at a global oil price, ship it to Canada from places that environmentally, human rights perspective, are terrible places. And we have this great asset here in Canada. And I'll remind everybody, the oil in the ground, the natural gas in the ground, is that of all Canadians. It's up to us as a society, and the businesses participating in it are that conduit, to get the optimal price, the world price for that. But we forgot that part, because we had the United States as the big buyer of our energy for the last X decades, and it's been easy for us. And now we find ourselves in a situation where everybody wants Canadian oil. So the heavy sour that we produce is in demand on a global basis. It's the grade people want. And we can't get it to them. We've got it all going to the United States. And, you know, they're smart. They've got us. We're the golden egg.
Right, because they also buy it at a discount and export theirs at a world premium price. So they're getting...
Well, and here's the clue is, you know, just at the beginning of 2016, I guess, the allowable exports of crude oil from the United States started. They hadn't been allowed to do that for decades. And that, in my mind, that was a smart move. They're now able to control the export off their own shore, preempting Canada's ability to do that. They can take our oil in, take what they need, and ship it off to the places that need it as well. And you know, it's going straight to Asia.
At a markup, I'm sure.
They're not doing it for free.
Tim, I appreciate your time and your perspective on this. It's good to talk. Thank you.
Anytime. Have a great day.
And you, Tim Pickering, with Auspice Capital Advisors on the Energy East project that got scuttled earlier today. TransCanada pulled the plug.